The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The old sales approaches just aren't working anymore. It's time for a new way of thinking about your sales game. Welcome to Stand Up, Stand Out, or Stand Down with Malcolm Evans, the Sales Accent Guy. Sales can be a tough world where rejection is part of the day-to-day. Your customers are doing the research to save a dollar. Do you still stand out as the best choice? You will soon. Here's your host, Malcolm Evans.
And a very, very good afternoon or good morning for wherever you are listening in from. My name is Malcolm Evans, and I am the Sales Accent Guy. And some people have contacted me and said, that's a dumb name. What's behind it? Well, I've been in sales forever. I do have an accent, and I am male. So it all fell together. As I've said, the idea behind the show is to bring fresh ideas, creativity, and useful information for people in business and sales. 2015 is going to be great, but a big part is what you choose you want it to be. You can keep doing what you did last year, or you can choose to try new things when you see them. But the thing is, you've got to keep trying them, you know. And this often takes some hard work, an open mind, and as I say, danger. Some of the things we'll talk about may involve that hard work. So if you keep listening, we will have some useful opinion for you. We will have some useful ideas, some creativity. Now, over the past few weeks, I've spoken to multiple experts, and these have been in the fields of motivation, understanding customers, starting a business, creating a brand. Then we moved on to personal branding last week with Sylvie DiGusto, and she brought it very close to home. This was about managing the image that you project outward from yourself to coworkers, or when you were going for that new job, you're going to an interview. And some of these things you can control, others that things like your height and your weight and your appearance and the size of your nose, those things are a little bit difficult. But we have to manage them. Now, that interview or conversation that we had, that really struck a chord. Now, I've had sort of messages from all over the place. Now, what we're going to talk today is how do you continue that communication, continue that managing of your image and continuing on with your self-branding, moving into things that are a little bit outside your control, where, everyone knows that we as humans communicate visually. We look at somebody and we know whether to run away, it's fight or flight, whether this person's attractive or I want to understand more. But now, in today's world, we're, especially in sales and business, we're communicating outwards, and the things that we have at our disposal, if we're not there in person, are electronic. So this is either email or Twitter or something, or we have to use the telephone. Now, what the whole show is going to be, about those two things, how we can get some tips from people that are experts in this field. Now, in doing the prep for the show, I look at a few things. I look at what I already have in my head. I look at what books I own, and I look at what's in the library, and I look out at Amazon. I've heard and read it as well that more than 50% of everything that is purchased in America comes from word of mouth. We trust in people, our friends close to us, that tell us about a restaurant or a book or something. So I picked up a couple of books this week, and I think it was Andy actually mentioned at some time about the one book, and I'm at a point in time I'm going to try my best to get the author to come on and talk about this topic, and that was The Science of Fascination. Now, this lady, Sally Hogshead, has written a fantastic book about understanding how the world sees you. Now, I was so engrossed in this book for more than a week, and then through the mail, some parcel arrived, which I can't remember ordering from anywhere, but I picked it up and I started reading it, and that will be by my second guest, Craig Kleeman, will join us a bit later. The book was so compelling, I dropped everything and I read it from cover to cover. And when you listen to what he has to say and some of his ideas, I think you'll agree. Now, the shows are put together. There'll be 13 in total. The intention is that you'll be able to listen at the first one, download it from iTunes or Stitcher, follow it all the way through to the last one. And if you're new in sales or you're looking for some new ideas, it should have a roadmap. On my website, there are books that support what we've discussed that help build this topic up. So it could be seen as a bit of a fast track. Now, a lot of what I do is corporate training. I do sales training and a lot of things with customer facing. But one thing that I do see is people struggle to communicate. When they're put on the spot as well, they're even scared to pick up the phone or communicate with a difficult customer or whatever. Now, we're going to kick off the first part of the show. Andy Horner is going to be with us to talk to us about giving us some advice on writing emotionally engaging emails. I introduced Andy the other week. He's the CEO of a company that I work closely with called Ace of Sales. You'll hear some adverts going forward of my product Accentuate. It's built on the very, very solid, robust platform of that is Ace of Sales. Now, we have a challenge in the workforce today. We've got everybody from baby boomers all the way through to millennials. They communicate in different ways. It's sometimes a challenge, you know, developing a relationship. And he's shown me that this can be done. And at that point, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to see. Andy, are you still with us?
I'm right here. Yeah, I'm fully tuned in, strapped down, and ready to dig into this. Where do we begin?
Oh, that's the, you know, I think that's the place to be. You know, just imagine you know, an onboarding process. We take somebody out of college today, and we bring him into a company. We're going to show him some product stuff. We're going to give him a bit of the culture of the company, and then we're going to let him loose on customers with Outlook or something like that. You know, building that relationship between himself and somebody that may be first a stranger or might not have the same things in common with him because of his age or where he's from in the world. You know, that's one of the great things about America. You know, we've got all cultures here. Now, you know, we've got to get good at this stuff. You know, communication is the responsibility of the transmitter. Now, you do this day in and day out, and you've certainly taught me a lot of things.
Yeah.
What's the anatomy of the killer modern email look like?
Well, the anatomy of a killer email, first off, is honest. You know, what's happened in the world of business is that salespeople and business leaders have gotten used to working with contacts and prospects in this artificial mode where they try to present themselves as super professional. They come off as saying all of the right things, using all of the right buzzwords, framing up a close, trying to remove all barriers, and presenting themselves in such a perfect way that the prospect is left with no other course of action than to sign up, pay up, and become a customer. And that's just not the way it works. We are in a place now where people are so cynical, Malcolm, and so and just expecting you to not deal with them honestly and openly and straightforwardly, that they are skeptical. They're just cynical and skeptical and just waiting for you to prove yourself to be a typical salesperson. And if you are going to build relationships and draw people to you, that law of attraction, if you're going to do that, you have to start your email messages off just like you do your voicemails, just like you do your phone calls, just like you do your sales calls. You have to do it in a very genuine, transparent, friendly, human being mode. And the key word there is human being. You have to come off like a real person, the kind of person that they would want to get to know, they would want to become friends with. And so I would say you start your email off with that. You start your email off with what you would say to a normal person throughout your day. When you start off an email with somebody in who's a coworker or a friend or a family member, somebody that you trust, a partner that you have fun with and you can go out and have a beer with, how do you start a conversation with them? You don't start off by saying, thank you so much for the lunch today that we had together. I just wanted to let you know that this conversation was just fabulous, and this leads me into the most important thing that we mentioned today. And I'd like to go over the three bullet points of the features that that I shared with you. You don't talk to a friend that way, and you don't talk to your business partners that way. You start off by saying, "Hey, man, it was great to see you." So start off your email like that. Hey, man, it was great to see you. It was great to meet you. I had a blast. This was fantastic. What a great start to a conversation. And then you bring up something that relates them back to that moment with you. You know what? I'm glad to meet somebody who loves sushi as much as I do. Or hey, next time I pick the place. This time, next time we go out, or the next time we get together, you're picking. You say something that sounds human. You just talk to them the way that you would a normal friend, human being, and then you go from that human opening to a reiteration of the value that you discussed with them at the meeting. You don't talk to them about your features. You don't talk to them about your benefits. You don't talk to them about something that would be copy and pasted from your brochure. You talk to them about what they responded to. When you spoke with them, they responded emotionally to something that you said or something that was discussed or something that they shared with you about their business and their goals and their motivations. So you highlight that and you respond to it by saying, here's what you said. Here's what you're interested in. This is what was most important to you. And then you follow that up with, here are three ideas, or here are three answers to the question that you posed, or to the challenge that you discussed. Here are three ideas to help you get there. 1, 2, 3. And you state them clearly and specifically. And then you say, I would like to get back together with you to go over these. You don't say, I would like to schedule a time to da da da. You say it humanly. I would like to schedule a time to get back together with you to talk about these ideas or to go over these answers, and to find out which one is most important to you, or which one we should proceed with, or which one we should dig into a little bit. And then you close without saying thanks again or best wishes or best regards, which is the Jane Austen way of saying I'll see you next year when we're down in the countryside. No, you don't say best regards as if have a nice life. You say, would this Thursday at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock be better for you? Or you say, which that might sound a little bit manipulative in today's cynical world. So you might say, I'm available this Wednesday and Thursday at 2 o'clock either day, or lunch either day. Would one of them work for you? That's much more genuine. And let them look at their calendar and pick. If you say, find a time that's available for you or give me two times that you have open next week, then they have to go do work. You don't want them to go do work while they're looking at your email. All you want them to do is to glance at their Wednesday and say, yeah, I'm open at 2 o'clock next Wednesday. Let's get back together then. So you give them two opportunities or two options. You say, I'm available at these two times. Which one would you like to get back together on the phone or in person? And then they will respond. So you've given them, you opened up, you prove that you're human and that you're the kind of person that they would enjoy doing business with. You gave them value responding to their buying motive. And then you closed your email with a specific call to action where you did all the work. All they have to do is take a quick glance at their calendar at the time you gave them, see if they're open, and they can respond and say, this is fantastic. I love these ideas. You gave me incredible answers. I'm available at 2 o'clock tomorrow, just like you. So let's get back together then. That's the anatomy of a perfect email in the business world and in the context of sales and prospecting today, Malcolm.
Mm. Yeah. Now, we're going to get going up to a little break in a moment, but, you know, the one side of me says, yes, we've got to be doing this. I stick a flag in the ground and say, look, to stand out, you've got to be different. There's some challenge, though, with some of the residual thinking that's out there in some of the larger organizations that, well, this doesn't quite look professional. This isn't the corporate image that we want to portray of friendliness and familiarity. Now, when we come back after the break, I'd like to expand a little bit on that because, you know, as you've often heard me say and other people on the show, yeah, therein lies the opportunity, the chance to be different, the chance to stand out. Okay? Well, now, after a couple of words, we'll be back with Andy and we'll continue on this topic.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Ever heard this from your sales team? The customer has not replied to my email. Individuals, corporations, or national teams in multi-level marketing, stop taking chances in the inbox. Accentuate is an easy-to-use, quick-to-learn, self-marketing game-changer built with your sales needs in mind. It'll help you stand out, get noticed, close deals, and more quickly build relationships. Stunning emails and newsletters built and delivered in moments. Track who opened them, and then see what links were clicked or which file was downloaded. Say thanks. Send a personalized gift card right from your desk. Don't let your team rely on the same tools from the 90s that your worst competitor uses or some system that an intern built. Accentuate is your new secret weapon in the inbox wars. Stand out, get noticed, and be remembered. Get your emails opened first. Users love it. So do customers. It is quick to set up and no contract is required. See for yourself. Take the 30-day risk-free trial. Visit Accentuate.com. Accentuate your brand and message right to the customer's inbox. Accentuate.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Stand Up, Stand Out, or Stand Down. To reach Malcolm Evans or his guest today, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to malcolm@accentuate.com. Now, back to the show.
And thank you very much for continuing to listen. Stay with us for the rest of the show. We are going to have some useful perspective and tips from two renowned experts in their field. Andy Horner. Andy Horner at Ace of Sales. Or Andy at Ace of Sales. And what is your Twitter handle, Andy?
My Twitter is just Andy Horner. And would love to have you there. I do a lot of my posts, Malcolm, are relating to sales and marketing and creativity, how you present yourself, and would love to have you join on. So we'll have a lot of value for you there.
Yeah. And the one neat thing about Twitter is we can get instant feedback. And and that's what we want. We want to know that the messages that are going out. I'm at Sales Accent Guy, and I get some interesting stuff coming back, and I try to follow up on it very quickly. Now, just before the break, we were talking about the anatomy of the of a, say, a perfect email. Let's call it that. But the challenge, I think, and you know, my background over the years is I've worked in some very large organizations in different parts of the world, and there are certain ways of doing things. There is the corporate perspective of professionalism and image. Now, familiarity and friendship, sometimes they're not all that encouraged. You know, gone are the days of, a couple of martinis at lunch and golf in the afternoon and, maybe the Christmas card later in the year. It's we engage much more with our customers. And, you know, how do people pick up on this, you know, from... how do they stand out? You know, what's going to get somebody noticed and not cross those lines between professionalism and, you know, familiarity, I suppose?
Well, you have to make people laugh today. You have to make people smile. You have to immediately establish rapport. And if you can't do these things, people are just not going to pay attention to you. So number one way to stand out is be the kind of person that somebody wants to be a friend with. And if not close friend, of course, but maybe a business friend. And so when you stand out, the reason why most people in business do not stand out, Malcolm, is that they try to strip their personality, their quirkiness, their individuality away so they can present themselves as professional. If you look at any Chamber of Commerce networking meeting, or just any standard networking meeting, and the guys are in suits, the women are in dress suits, and they're mingling around. They're all trying to portray professionalism. They're all trying to come off as though they're big shots. They're all trying to come off as though they are they've got their act together. You know, and you do have to portray professionalism, but the way to stand out is to be yourself, is to be that genuine, quirky, interesting, compelling, expert first part of you, not that perfectly polished, sterile sales professional. You don't want to be that guy. You know, we have a mission statement, Malcolm, at Ace of Sales, a very simple mission statement. And the mission statement is very simply, don't be a douchebag. Now, I know that the word douchebag is not typically kosher on the air, but it's a very important word, because what it means to Gen Xers and millennials is it means don't be a fake. Don't be a poser. And that's what salespeople tend to do. They tend to portray themselves as this sterilized professional hotshot. And today that does not stand out. That fades in. And so you want to present yourself as unique to you. You want to be yourself. You want to be your quirky, fun, interesting, personal, individual self. And that has to come out in your emails. It has to come out in your phone calls. It has to come out when you're shaking hands with people. You don't sterilize who you are. You let all that stuff come out. And what's going to come out with that is your unique brand of expertise as well. And that is what's going to draw people to you. People want to meet real human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Jeffrey Gitomer on a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that he's famous for saying, it's his mantra, is that, we don't so much need... All things being equal, people buy from their friends. When things are not so equal, people still buy from their friends. So I think that's interpreted into, in business, it's not so much we need more customers, we need more friends. So to your point, what you're saying and what I spoke of earlier about the having different age groups and being able to communicate across the ages, the email, if it's constructed in the right way, can be that emotional connection. And I just see a wasted opportunity. Most people just blast it out there. It's get it out of the way. 50. It's volume. I do 50 of these a day.
Yeah, and out of 50, how many get disregarded?
Yeah.
49, 48. You know, so here's the thing. If you take 30 minutes and send out 50 emails to prospects. And I take that same 30 minutes and I send out 5 emails to prospects, but mine are personalized and crafted in such a way that they get attention and they command respect and they impress and that they create an emotional response. And I can get 4 out of 5, but out of your 50, you get 1 out of 50 because there's no thought or effort put into them. Who wins? I do.
Yeah. Okay, now you put something out in your blog a little while ago that said, here's the winning hand for writing emails that are quick and easy to read. And there's got to be a gambler in you somewhere. This is all about, you know, having the best hand in poker. And you know, you mentioned about the ace of hearts, keeping things short, the king of hearts, restricting the majority of your paragraphs to 3 sentences or less, then the queen of hearts. If you can't avoid writing a large paragraph, at least make it easy for the reader to scan it. And then you go on with the jack of hearts and say, don't bury your call to action inside a paragraph. Make sure it stands out. And then the 10 of hearts, end your emails with a dialogue opener, not a closer. And I thought that was, stop writing best wishes, warm regards. You put a nice one here says, well, what do you think? And it was a question that should provoke an answer. Or the one I really like is eager for your reply. Now, not everybody writes emails like that. In your experience and the companies that you work with, and I know you have experience from individuals up to, large corporations and multi-level marketing people that are now exploring the opportunity that has been lying unnoticed. What sort of results are you seeing from this?
Well, I have an extremely high closing ratio. And I'm not bragging. It's just that I know what it takes to go from being a face in the crowd to becoming the face of their marketing solution, or the face of their way forward. I know what it takes in order to speak to a person in such a way that they say, you know what, forget everybody else, we're going to deal with this guy. And the way you do that is you combine value, real answers, specific solutions that speak to what they told you with your human personality, your friendliness. So when I start off an email, I want it to be very scannable. I want them to be able to look at my email, and in the blink of an eye, I want them to determine whether or not this is an email that they want to read. Now, first of all, it's coming from me, and I have to establish that rapport ahead of time. But when they get an email from Andy Horner, and they think, okay, this is an email from Andy, let me see what he's got in here, they're going to give me 1 to 2 seconds to scan my email and to see, first of all, they want to see if they actually want to take the time to read it. And so if they scan my email and I have short paragraphs, bulleted lists, words that are very readable, things bolded, links that are broken outside the paragraph, and just constructed just so, nicely edited, they're going to say, yeah, this looks nice. This looks short. This looks like something I can read quickly. And then they read it. So they first scan it, and then they determine instantaneously if they want to read it or not. If they say yes, then they read it. Now, if they read it, they go down through there, and I always mingle in just a little bit of humor, a little bit of cleverness, something very specific to them. I oftentimes will quote them, Malcolm. I'll actually use a one-sentence verbatim quote from them. You said, when we were together, you said this, and I will paste it right there. And then I will say, here are my 3 responses to this thought. And they read that, and they think they read it and scan it very quickly. And then I always reply with something. The other day I replied with to a customer, a prospect, with does this piss you off as much as it does me? And I was quoting something from an article, and they wrote back and be like, yes, that absolutely drives me crazy when people say things like that. It was an article that they had a response to. I linked to the article. Well, now I've got them in an emotional mode. I knew that this was a hot button for them, like me. And they immediately went from reading my article, whatever they were thinking about, they're now thinking in the context and with the emotions of what I'm trying to drive them towards. And so the guy writes back and has this emotion, temper-filled response, and now him and I are on the same page. That's the kind of response you're trying to trigger. What you don't want is somebody thinking, oh, this is just a typical sales response. Thank you very much for spending time with me today. I hope that you were able to see that from the information I provided with you that we could be a great solution for you and your company. Thanks again. I hope to hear from you soon, Andy. If I did that 49 times out of 50, I would get nothing back.
Andy, we're going to need to move along. With your permission, I would like to make this this guide, you know, the based on the cards available for people to download, and I'll put it out on the text that I'll put out later. Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you, and we'll continue reading your blogs. And
the pleasure is all mine. I promise you.
Okay. You be well. Okay, we're going to need to break for a commercial. And after the commercial, keep listening. We'll be joined by Craig Kleeman, who I'm only going to describe as one of my new best friends. Okay? Speak to you soon.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Ever heard this from your sales team? The customer has not replied to my email. Individuals, corporations, or national teams in multi-level marketing, stop taking chances in the inbox. Accentuate is an easy-to-use, quick-to-learn, self-marketing game changer built with your sales needs in mind. It'll help you stand out, get noticed, close deals, and more quickly build relationships. Stunning emails and newsletters built and delivered in moments. Track who opened them, and then see what links were clicked or which file was downloaded. Say thanks. Send a personalized gift card right from your desk. Don't let your team rely on the same tools from the 90s that your worst competitor uses or some system that an intern built. Accentuate is your new secret weapon in the inbox wars. Stand out, get noticed, and be remembered. Get your emails opened first. Users love it. So do customers. It is quick to set up and no contract is required. See for yourself. Take the 30-day risk-free trial. Visit Accentuate.com. Accentuate your brand and message right to the customer's inbox. AXENTUATE.com.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Stand Up, Stand Out, or Stand Down. To reach Malcolm Evans or his guest today, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to malcolm@accentuate.com. Now, back to the show.
And good afternoon, everybody. My name is Malcolm Evans. I am the Sales Accent Guy, and thank you for staying with me. This part of the show, I know, is going to be really useful for an awful lot of people. In the sales world, actually making a contact with a customer is becoming more difficult every day. We're encouraged that making cold calls is not the way to do it any longer. People are busy. They're downsizing in companies. It's difficult to connect with a person because they're busy. They're running around. They don't want to see anyone. So we have to go off and we have to network. Now, if you're in an industry, say you're in B2B or whatever, say we're in a scenario of a salesperson working for a company selling capital equipment. He knows the industry, but unless he's in the same city as his target and he knows the type of events he's going to go to, his opportunity of reaching and connecting with the right person is diminished. So, this leaves us back to a couple of things. Andy mentioned about the reaching out over the email. The one way that is being discouraged is picking that phone up and making that cold call. Now, because it's been discouraged, people are not having practice at it. The need is not going away. Now, as I said, I had something come through the mail, and I'm not sure where it came from, and I can only think that it was somebody looking out for me, and I received a copy of Craig's book called The Must React System. Now, let me introduce Craig. He was the founder and CEO of Express Direct, a technology company that sold digital pre-press solutions for high-end graphic designers. Now, I'm reading his bio from off the web. What you can get through this is that after being in sales, Craig realized that he was onto something here, and he knew that he had a differentiator that could help other people. And I can only think that comes back to putting more thought into the initial contact and the reach out. I see that Craig's had been on speaking panels with the likes of George W. Bush, Tony Blair, you know, Silicon Valley guru Kai Kawasaki, and others. Now, Forbes magazine voted Craig as one of the top and influential sales movers and shakers of 2013. Now, having read his book, I've got to share this. You know, as we spoke over this last couple of days, when I read the book, I couldn't put it down. I was compelled to reach out and see that everybody listening also met Craig. And with that, I'm going to shut up for a moment, and I'm going to say, Craig, so the need for cold calling does not go away. How have you sort of managed to get people to change their mind and change some of their behavior when they're doing this stuff?
Well, hey, Malcolm, listen, first I just want to say thank you for inviting me to the show. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I really, really appreciate it. So, in answer to your question, you know, cold calling is one form, of course, of reaching out. I just really appreciated your prior discussion about email, and of course, email is a subset of digital outreach for which email is one of many channels. But we're living in this kind of world of social media, and we're living in this world of a variety of channels for outreach. And as a result of that, cold calling and reaching out through voice has gotten diminished, somewhat belied in some ways, and that's in part because the tools and the scripts and the language that people have used over the years have really become outmoded and no longer work in today's culture. And to be honest with you, excuse me, Malcolm, what I found was, gosh, you know, in my career of sales, and especially when I started my first company as founder and CEO and had responsibility for 25 sellers all with $1 million quota each. Excuse me, had a board of directors and investors and all that kind of stuff. And I had pressure, you know, we had to really make our numbers. And so I worked very, very hard with the team to come up with a new strategy and with new tactics. Excuse me, for reaching out and for winning meetings with target buyers. And what we really found was kind of the old stuff, which is leading with product benefit language and leading with value proposition-oriented language, which is so common and what people rather intuitively use. They use that sort of language. Unfortunately, that just leads to a lot of dead ends and no conversions. And even if one person's pitch is a little bit better than the next guy's, when they lead with any sort of vernacular, Malcolm, that smells like sales stench, as I affectionately argue in my book, or maybe more specifically, with language that that promulgates the idea that this is an unsolicited sales call, then that's really death to a conversion. So we came up with strategies that obviates that and that allows buyers to be immediately interested in what it is that we're describing so that we can win meetings and get conversions.
And that's really the goal, isn't it, of a cold call over the phone. You're trying to get the engagement, you know, plant a seed of interest and get the face-to-face meeting.
That's right, Malcolm. Well, what we've really found and what sellers need to learn is a process that kind of says this. Look, if we're going to, as I say in my book, enter the no product zone, if we're going to, you know, really move in this environment where we don't lead with product benefit language and we don't lead with value proposition oriented language because that smells like sales stance, and there's got to be another way. And so what we found is that leading with fact-based research is highly effective. And when we take the time, and we have a whole systematic approach to this, but when we begin to understand what is core to our professional buyers, what is core to their professional mandates, what do they value, you know, what are their core values, and we package that up in the form of a fact-based research briefing where we present to them third-party analyst research that is highly relevant to their professional mandates but is consistent not with our product features and functions and benefits but rather consistent with outcomes. You know, I always say that executives think in terms of topics, trends, metrics, and outcomes. So when we come in with this new approach and start inviting our target buyers to attend what we often refer to as analyst briefings or fact-based research briefings, wow, then watch the light bulb go off. All those are gone. All those, you know, those buyers that were saying no, 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 suddenly start saying yes, 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 and we get all kinds of entry points in with our target buyers.
Now, looking through the, you know, through the book, I've digested a couple of things. So you say first and foremost, when you've done your research, you know you're going to make the call. You've got to have the core value understood. You know, how are you going to be of value to that individual you are calling? And then you must prepare yourself a must react script.
Yep.
Okay, and you make some great sort of examples of where you used this yourself, and in the first couple of pages, I must say, one of the things that caught my attention, I'm a U2 fan, and you mentioned Bono, and I thought, what's Bono's name doing in a sales book? You could just tell us a little bit about, you know, how you put your philosophy into practice.
Yeah, well, good old Bono has become a real personal friend and mentor of mine since then. But, you know, the way it all happened was I happened to be in Amsterdam on some business. I was speaking at a conference. In fact, I was all throughout Europe for a couple of weeks. And my brother, who's a chief revenue officer for a very fast-growing, you know, cloud-based computing company, he was in Europe. And so we decided we would connect in Amsterdam for kind of a long weekend. And here we were sitting in the lounge of a very nice, you know, kind of upscale five-star hotel, you know, it was just a great environment. And we're sitting in the lounge having a cold beverage, and we heard a little commotion off to the side. And I looked over, and I thought, oh, my gosh, Kerry, my brother's name is Kerry. I said, Kerry, don't look now because I don't want us to look silly here, but you're not going to believe this. U2's Bono just walked in. He said, oh, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, have a look. So sure enough, we noticed Bono was there, and Malcolm is real funny. Over the next, gosh, 45 minutes or so, Bono is just trying to quietly eat a sandwich and have a cold beverage. We saw five or six people try to approach Bono, and every time they did it, they just got nowhere because out of nowhere, literally, Bono's bodyguard, who was rather embedded, you didn't even know he had one until you... I guess, you know, his bodyguard felt you needed to know. So we saw people try to connect with Bono, and each time the bodyguard would just jump in and just shut the whole thing down. And after about five or six of these things where people would say things like, hey, Bono, love your music, you know, I've been a fan for 20 years, can I get an autograph? Or, hey, Bono, you know, love Doc Kung, baby, you know, would you give me just a quick autograph? You know, Bono's bodyguard, in effect, the gatekeeper, would just jump in and shut the whole thing down and say, Bono's not available for fan club time right now. Yeah. And then Malcolm, I began to think, gosh, in fact, my brother kind of stirred me on and egged me on and said, hey, Craig, you know, Mr. Author, Mr. Speaker, you've been teaching people how to win meetings with C-level executives the last 2 weeks all throughout Europe. Can't you win a meeting right now with Bono? He's only about 30 or 40 feet from us. And at first, I didn't want to embarrass myself, you know, but after a little thought, I thought, gosh, I do this all the time. All I have to do is make an appeal to Bono based upon his professional mandates, his core values, what's personally, inviting and important to him. Well, it turns out, Malcolm, that I've kind of researched and followed Bono maybe a little more than the next guy, being a big U2 fan and a big kind of music and creative arts fan in general. And I remembered that Bono has an umbrella phrase that he uses on a not a real frequent basis, rather infrequent actually, to describe his humanitarian work and his, you know, kind of outreach work. And he uses the phrase, defending the poor of the earth. And I'd read the transcript of his talk that he'd given at the commencement address at, I forgot now, I think it might have been Harvard, and I'd seen him speak at Willow Creek Community Church, which is a big 20,000-plus church here in Chicagoland that I know partners with him in his humanitarian work. And I'd heard him and read him use that phrase, defending the poor of the earth. So I thought, gosh, I can do this. I do this all the time with the Must React system. I teach people throughout the world to do this all the time. I mean, we just won meetings with CFOs from some of the largest, you know, billion-dollar-plus companies in the world on an engagement that just a few days ago that just blew my clients away, kind of using this systematic approach. I thought, I can do this. So Malcolm, I looked right at him, and I said, hey, Bono, you know, from about 30 feet away. And our eyes kind of met, and I knew I had that sort of split second there, you know. And I said, Bono, I appreciate so much how you defend the poor of the earth. And what I really did, Malcolm, was I gave him his own language, his own values, his own personal and professional mandates wrapped up into a short statement. You know, hey, Bono, I appreciate so much how you defend the poor of the earth. And you know, Malcolm, it's like his face just became angelic. He just countenance just beamed. And so I said, Bono, I formerly was on the board of directors of an outreach to abandoned children in South America, and I really appreciate how difficult it is to get the modern world to understand the plight of the rest of the world. And I grabbed my cup and I raised it and I just said, cheers to you, Bono, for defending the poor of the earth. And then he raised his cup, you know, from 30 feet away. We gave each other a virtual toast, and I took a little drink of my beverage and sat my cup down. And I remember I sat my cup down, and I thought to myself these words. I thought, okay, Craig, now what are you going to do? And then literally within what seemed like 30 seconds, maybe it was a minute, Mr. Bodyguard, Mr. Gatekeeper, you know, Mr., you know, stop the train, no one can get to Bono, Mr. Muscle Beach walks right up to me and says, Bono would like to invite you to his table right now. And I sort of answered the bodyguard by looking at my brother and rather sarcastically saying, thank you very much. And so anyway, I'll close the story by telling you that I went over and spent a good hour with Bono. We've become friends. He's become a mentor of mine. In fact, I get backstage passes and third row seats to virtually, you know, almost every tour. I'll be in L.A. I'll be backstage in June for the upcoming tour. It's just turned out to be a beautiful relationship, all the result of practicing this principle of avoiding the sales stench, staying away from leading with sort of common language that everyone else leads with, but rather leading with fact-based research that appeals to your target's professional mandates. It was a wonderful experience, Malcolm. Thank you for asking me about it.
And, you know, the emotion comes through there when you tell that story even more than it comes through when you read the book. And, you know, I connected there. Now, the thing that I really liked how you've taken something that is, you know, it transcends the sales world, because, you know, what we're dealing with is people. And people are the constant in this. You've got to tune into, you know, what's important to them. Now, you take it into the next phase. Now, you've got the meeting. And say we move from the meeting with Bono, and now you're going after the executive at a company. And the analogy is now we have this capital equipment guy. We've got the must-react briefing, which you say is a short presentation, a PowerPoint, 15 slides, and you say there must be some of the sort of pertinent things to get in there, because this is a briefing. This isn't a presentation or a sales pitch. It's a briefing. So what do you recommend we put in there?
Yeah, you really hit it right there. And let me just try and answer that as best I can. I'll just give you just a real live example. We had one group that we worked with that sold an agent portal software solution. Their target buyers were chief marketing officers from the largest insurance carriers in the world, with their primary geography being North America as their target. And when we first met them, you know, they couldn't win a meeting if their lives depended upon it. In fact, during the observation period, you know, that I observed 331 outbound cold calls that their sellers made to CMOs, and they were using just the standard. It was good language and stuff. The problem was it was just ineffective. They were just, "Hi, this is Craig Klayman with XYZ Company, and I'd like to introduce you to XYZ. I'd like to introduce you also to our agent portal software solution, and I'd like to share with you how we saved, you know, Zurich International $1 million last year." And that it was all cogent, it was all brief, it all seemed good on paper, but sadly in practice, when we documented this and we tracked this, in 331 dials, they got zero meetings. Malcolm, they went over 331. You know, I live in Chicago. Kind of reminds me of a Chicago Cubs batting average at the end of September. Well, anyway, I think the CEO of the company was absolutely shocked to realize the conversion rates were that low. But then we applied the exact methodology that we're talking about right now. And we began inviting these chief marketing officers to what we called an analyst briefing. And we carefully researched, you know, what they valued, what groups in LinkedIn, what discussion groups they were attending, what comments they were making. We carefully valued how they're compensated and what they're accountable to both the CEO and the board of directors. And we realized that the single most important metric for a large insurance carrier is optimizing agent retention and improving agent productivity. I mean, short of the balance sheet, that is where the rubber really hits the road. And so we really did just that. We built these research-based briefings that were entitled just that. And when we began to call the CMOs, not say a word about product, remember we entered the no product zone, when we began to appeal to them based upon their professional mandates and invite them to attend what we described as a 15-minute analyst briefing, they'd always ask, what's the topic? And we'd always answer, the topic is, those three words, the topic is, I've personally gotten a lot of mileage out of that over the years. The topic is, and we'd say it, optimizing agent retention and improving agent productivity. Well, guess what? They all started saying yes. And this team went from 0 for 331 to having delivered in a 12-month period 1,680 fact-based research briefing presentations that were exactly what you described. No more than 15 slides, an amalgamation of third-party reputable research from credible analyst firms that's done lots of research, sometimes blended in with our own research if we have that, and all we're simply doing is briefing the target buyer on problems, challenges, and difficulties and challenges to achieve outcomes in an area that ultimately our product can solve. Well, guess what? Excuse me. When we incorporate hyper open-ended questions, when we get the target to talk at least 30% of the time, which demonstrates the fact that they're engaged and they're stimulated, then guess what? The conversion rate goes up. The probability for a conversion is very strong. So anyway, back to the metrics. Instead of 0 for 331, when we invited them to attend these analyst briefings, then we delivered these short, fact-based presentations that's a smattering, an amalgamation, I might say, of good, solid research that really tells the story of potential outcomes. Guess what? Those 1,680 research briefings that we delivered translated into $30 million in forecasted revenue converted into $10 million in net new licensing revenue.
Craig?
Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to start to shut this down here. There's a couple of things I want to make people aware of.
You bet.
Go buy the book, The Must React Briefing. The Must React System. You've got a new book coming out soon. Your website, craigkleeman.com, The Business of Life, has been redone. There will be some text information I'm going to send out today at 313131. Text the word accent to that number, and you'll get some background from the show today. At some point in time, Craig, if your schedule allows it, I'd love to have you back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of this stuff. Go look at the book. Look at my website. I'll make reference to the interview today. There's gold in these words, and there's dollars in these minutes that you spend listening. Craig, my new friend, hey, thank you for helping me, and I'm going to make sure we're going to spread the word to others. Cold calling's not dead. It's how we do it.
Awesome, Malcolm. It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much, and look forward to next time.
All right, sir. Hey, you be well. I'm going to hand you back to the station, and thank you very, very much.
You bet.
Thanks for listening this week. Join us again for another edition of Stand Up, Stand Out, or Stand Down with Malcolm Evans, the Sales Accent Guy. We'll be back next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll see you again next week.